Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Dr. Jennings is with us via Skype to talk about something a lot of people don't like to talk about, politics. More to the point, should we Christians even get involved in politics? Should we write about it, study it, and become part of the divisive dialogue that's taking place on all levels in this society concerning what's going on in our local and national government? And what's the relationship, if any, between politics and the gospel? Dr. Jennings, help us out here. What do we need to know?
One of the first things to recognize is that Jesus taught that his kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And so if we're really followers of Christ, we recognize that none of the governments on the earth are actually his. In fact, the Bible tells us that all the governments of the earth operate on Satan's principles of power, dominance, control, and so forth. Yeah. So we will never really achieve the Christian vision by seeking the advancing the gospel message through governments of the earth. That's always a mistake. Mm-hmm. And so our loyalty must, as Christians, be to Christ first. And the Bible teaches that when we are converted, that our citizenship is in heaven, the Bible talks about. I don't know if you remember those verses, but Philippians 3:20, that we become citizens of a different government. And our loyalties as citizens of the heavenly king must be to live out his principles and represent his kingdom in a world that is operating on a whole different set of priorities and principles. So that would be the first thing. But even though we recognize our citizenships in heaven and that we are members of God's family and that our focus is to advance the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdoms of this earth, we still live in a war zone. Yes. We live in a place in which we still have to deal with many of the abuses, the injustices, conflict, sickness, sin, evil, exploitation, crime, propaganda, pain, all this trickery that the evil forces put upon us. We still have to face those. And so many people will say, yes, you're right, but don't we then have to get political in order to protect ourselves from all the abuses happening in this world? Mm-hmm. And this is where the true Christian doesn't fall into that trap. So let me put it this way. We can never advance God's kingdom by using Satan's methods. Mm-hmm. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. One of the other traps people get into is that when something becomes a topic of political debate and used politically by political forces, then many people within Christian circles will go to the extreme of, well, we can't talk about that subject matter. We can't talk about things related to, say, reproductive health, or we can't talk about marriage issues, or we can't talk about the role of women in society, et cetera, what some might call feminism. We can't talk about those things anymore because those are now political issues, and to actually talk about those would become political. We don't want to be political, so we stay silent on everything. Yeah. Well, that's an error as well. Jesus clearly talked about marriage and many of these things, but he didn't do it from a position of advancing political power. So let's define what politics is, okay?
Good, yes.
Versus what the gospel is. Politics is about power, earthly, ungodly, dominating, manipulative, coercive, and controlling power that is exerted over other people to dominate, control, influence other people. It's usually a few people seeking power to control what other people do. In fact, the definition of politics in the dictionary is use of intrigue or strategy in obtaining any position of power or control.
Ooh, wow.
And that can be in business. There's politics in business.
Yes, yes.
That can be in governments. That can be in the church. I have seen politics in the church where people will use any strategy or intrigue to get power for their team within the church itself.
Yes.
This is contrary to the gospel, where the gospel, the good news, is the power of God into salvation for everyone who believes. And thus the gospel is about applying the methods of God into the hearts and minds of people in order to free and empower them to be self-governed citizens of heaven. The gospel is about turning selfish people who use politics to empower themselves and exploit others into loving people who live in harmony with God and practice his methods of self-sacrificing love to benefit others. Does that make sense?
It does. And boy, you are so right about people. As Christians, we want to spread God's love. We want to welcome and be inclusive and whatnot. And people just say, oh, you're being political. That's all politics. And they give names for it and everything. And that just waters down what we're trying to do in the name of the Lord outside of politics. And so it ties our hands, it ties the Christians' hands when we are labeled as political when we're trying to be Christ-like.
Yes, and so when you talk about certain subjects, which I've written about and blogged about, like climate issues, the issues of whether people should take the jab or not, social justice issues, human justice versus God's justice, etc. When you talk about these issues from a biblical worldview and bring God's principles to bear on how we treat others, some people will say, because you are talking on those issues, you're being political.
Right.
And I point out, no, I'm not being political, because what I'm doing is I'm showing how, regardless of the subject matter, we always apply the principles of God, which are pursuing truth, love, and freedom to build up others, whereas politics uses any strategy or intrigue to gain power to dominate others. Mm. And we're not seeking to dominate anybody. We're seeking to free people. And so let's contrast, without a specific topic or focus, let's look at the elements of the difference between politics and the gospel.
Good, good.
Politics uses lies and propaganda. The gospel wields the sword of truth.
Mm.
And that includes politics within the church. Politics within the church will use lies and propaganda while they claim to be advancing the truth. Yeah. Look at the political leaders who crucified Christ in the religious organization of his day and how they used lies and propaganda against Christ. Politics imposes rules or laws to force its way upon others. The gospel invites people into loving friendship and leaves them free.
Mm-hmm.
Politics will always seek to get some authority or power and set up a system of rules for compliance to force others to do what the ones in power want to do. And that's in the church. Have you seen within the church? Depending on how the church is structured, we have a new rule and we're going to have compliance committees and we're going to do this or that. We're going to force it. That's all politics. That's not the gospel, but it's under the guise of we're doing this for the good of others and so forth. Politics seeks to take from the many to empower the few. The gospel seeks to empower the many through the sacrifice of the few, and the ultimate few would be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who sacrifice themselves for us.
Yeah.
Politics seeks to weaken the minds of people and turn the masses into serfs, into pawns, into plebes, into people who can be easily manipulated through propaganda and voices of authority. The gospel seeks to develop the critical reasoning skills of people so they become image bearers of their creator. Thus, Hebrews 5:14, the mature of those who develop by practice the ability to discern right from wrong. God says, come, let us reason together, though your sins are like scarlet, the blue white like snow. Paul says in Romans 14:5, let every person be fully persuaded in their own mind. The principles of the gospel are always about building up the autonomy and individuality so they develop the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, self-control, self-governance. Politics is about creating a pawn class of people who follow dynamic or authoritarian leaders to do what they're told with very little questioning of the leadership. That's what politics wants. Politics seeks to darken and control minds with opinions. The gospel seeks to enlighten and free minds with objective truth. God is the God of reality. And as you come to know the truth sets you free. Unfortunately, much of religions of the world are superstitious in nature and work to cloud the mind. They are not part of the gospel. And so politics, whether it is the politics of a religion or the politics of a state, politics works to darken and control minds through various opinions that are foisted off as facts.
Yeah.
Politics uses fear to restrict liberty and impair thinking. The gospel uses love to cast out fear and advances liberty and true wisdom. And then get this. You'll notice this is always true. Politics divides society into various affinity groups or power bases that elites can draw, whether it's this political party or that political party or this identity group or that. They seek to divide society into groups that they can then be the champions for to give the individual leaders of those groups power.
Yeah.
The gospel unites everyone in love and truth.
Man. Well, Dr. Jennings, look around. We are being destroyed by politics. Can I say that safely?
Of course. And that's because all the kingdoms of this world are Satan's. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And that as we are drawn into the systems of this world, we will be divided and we will be pitted against ourselves on some issue that has an emotional importance to us. And then we will seek to advance what we believe to be the righteous answer, attitude, approach through the methods of this world, which is typically gaining more power to pass laws, to force our way upon other people. And that always divides and causes injustice and abuse. The gospel way is to understand that God is the creator of reality. His laws are the actual laws that reality operate upon, like the laws of health. And when you understand how the laws of health work, then you have discernment or ability to make healthy decisions because it actually is objectively healthy. And you communicate that to people, but you never have to inflict punishments for it. So you communicate to your child that's growing up how damaging cigarette smoke is.
Yeah.
And they grow up to smoke anyway. You do not have to pass a law to punish them for smoking cigarettes. They will suffer for smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Dr. Jennings, in the 90 seconds we have left on today's program, you're standing in the city hall and you're in front of the voting booth. What should drive what you choose? What should be the underlying foundation to make you make the choices you make on that voting ballot?
Romans 14:5, every person must be fully persuaded in their own mind. I wouldn't suggest to anyone. There are some people who are absolutely convinced that the governments are corrupt, and no matter who you vote for, you're voting for corruption, so they don't vote. And they do that with a conscience and conviction that they should not participate in systems of this world. Other people believe that it's their moral duty to vote agendas that are closest in harmony with the principles of God, so they're voting for leaders who advocate and seek to diminish the power of the government. They want less restrictive government. They only want to use the governments of the earth to restrain evil, and they want to oppose systems that would seek to advance some political party's version of what righteousness is by forcing other people to behave. And so they would vote because they want to restrain the intrusion upon liberty that the totalitarian states might put, because that destroys love. And so they might vote for those reasons. So I couldn't give somebody an answer. I would tell them that they should be prayerful about that and in every circumstances assess to the best of their ability. And I will tell you this, though, as a principle, societies with greater liberty for their people are healthier societies than societies without freedom, because love only exists in an atmosphere of freedom.
Hmm. Commonreason.com is the website. A lot of resources there for you, listener. Dr. Jennings has made sure that you have all the material you need as you learn about things like politics and the gospel. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Dr. Jennings joins us today via Skype. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.